A play fake. Young goes deep middle. He's got Jerry Rice. Touchdown 49ers!
Welcome to another edition of the 49ers Family Podcast, where three generations of 49ers fans break down the game each week and hear from Grandpa Mike as he shares personal experiences and stories since he became a fan in 1949. My name is Josh, and I'm here with my dad, Jared, and my grandpa, Mike, and we are a 49ers family.
Woo-hoo!
All right. Taking down the Giants on Thursday Night Football. All is right in the world. We get the 30 points once again, three straight weeks, which means that we kept Jake Moody busy, kicking some field goals, kicking some extra points. Here we are. So fun to be breaking down the win. Only three unbeaten teams left in the league. No surprise, us, the Eagles, and the Dolphins, who put a whooping on the Broncos, 70-20. Wow,
crazy.
Glad we're not playing them this year. We'll save that to the Super Bowl. But
yeah.
But what a game it was. Let's go around really quick. Just instant reactions, Grandpa. What were your thoughts on the game? It was a while ago. It was last Thursday.
Exactly. It was a while ago. It seems, you know, like we haven't played in weeks. But so the Niners are at 3-0, and it's only the second time in the past 25 years that we have started season 3-0. So it's a big thing. So the Giants, it was interesting. When they hired their coach a year ago from Buffalo, last year they did a lot of blitzing, and they're doing it again this year. They blitzed more than any team last year, and this against us they blitzed 85% of the time, which is a record. The average in the NFL for blitzing is 31% of the time. So, but the really interesting thing, and, you know, Brock Purdy just showed another side of himself. So he was blitzed 33 times, and he went actually 20 of 31 and for 247 yards and two touchdowns. And so the whole city of New York rushed Brock Purdy 33 times. They sacked him once. And his average release time, which is also interesting to me, is 2.34 seconds. So he was just, they blitzed. He, you know, went to the hot receiver. So that was a big thing, how we handled the blitz. Now, the 49ers have won 13 straight regular season games. And in all of those games, we have not turned the ball over more than once. So that's the key, turnover. Yep. And the other coincidental thing, the final thing is this winning streak started when we got Christian McCaffrey. So he has made us elite. So, yeah, it's a great win.
Great. Dad, what are some of your thoughts?
My thoughts, I was happy to get out of there with 30 points and the win. It felt harder than I expected it to be. It looked hard. I wasn't relaxed. It looked like we were just rushed and struggling a little bit. I think it was because they were blitzing so much. Brock Purdy didn't have any time. Nothing looked really pretty. We didn't look like we were in control of the game at any time, and to me, but we had some big plays. We had some good yak yards. We'd struggle and we'd convert a third down, and we'd get some good yak yards, yards after catch from Debo or Kittle or Christian McCaffrey, Juan Jennings as well. Another instant reaction is we just struggled in the red zone. It felt like we still put up three touchdowns or
three touchdowns, three field goals.
Yeah. So we still got three touchdowns, three field goals, but the red zone, we could have been more efficient there too. But the Giants gave us some trouble, more than I expected. So, but another victory, and we won decisively. Nonetheless, it just tells me I'm an intense 49er fan right now. I watch. If we're not dominating easily, I'm worried. So anyhow, it was a great win.
Yeah. I mean, I see where you come from. I too was hoping that they would put it away earlier when the Giants scored to make it 17-12, and then they went for two. I was like, oh, I didn't realize that. Oh yeah, they should go for two, because if they get it, they would be within three. And that felt too close. But that was the one point in the game where I was like, uh-oh. But then we scored, and then we scored again, and then we end up winning by 18 points when we were supposed to win by eight. Mm-hmm. There was a point in that game that it was like, uh-oh, this is a little bit closer than it should be. But then we got possession and we took care of business. But yeah, great win. Super fun. We, you know, definitely took it soon. We'll talk about the box score in a second. But just reviewing our predictions, like I just said, final score was 30-12. Grandpa, you guessed 32-15. I guessed 35-20. Dad, 34-17. So Grandpa gets the prize this week for the closest score. He had us winning by 17, and the score was actually really close, 32-15 versus 30-12. So good job, Grandpa.
Nice. Thank you.
on the leaderboard, we all correctly guessed against the spread. We took the Niners, and the Niners ended up winning by 18, as we just said. Over under, though, we all guessed the over, and they only scored 42 points when the over under was 44.5. So it's pretty even. We're all 2-1 against the spread. You and Grandpa and Dad and Grandpa are 1-2 versus the over under. I'm 0-3. And then we each, in three games, we each have been the closest once. So far, even Steven.
Mm-hmm. Cool. It's pretty tight. It's awesome.
But yeah, let's now talk a little bit about the stat sheet. Grandpa, I know you're always analyzing these things. What pops out to you? What jumps off the page? And there should be a lot on the page. I'll probably catch whatever you don't get.
Okay. So we've got to keep in mind that the New York Giants were a playoff team last year. Okay, so they're a good team. So the first thing that just really slapped me in the face was the number of plays. The Niners had 78 snaps, New York had 43. It was almost double. And so that parlayed into the time of possession. We had the ball for 39 minutes and 10 seconds, New York for 20 minutes and 50 seconds. And that means we held the ball for over a quarter longer than the Giants did. Mm-hmm. So we dominated the stats. We didn't dominate the game early. And then third down efficiency, New York was 3-for-12. That's 25%. We were 9-for-16. So that's decent. And the first downs were 26-10. And then finally, the total yards, we had 441 and New York had 150. Now, all of last year, the best the defense did, the lowest number of yards we allowed, was the first game of the year against Chicago in the monsoon, and we gave up 204 yards.
Wow.
And against the Giants, it was 150. So the 49ers played a great, great game, although it was tight for longer than we thought. So that's what jumps out at me.
Yeah, part of that total net yards that I was really proud of, because it is what it should have been, but they only gained 29 yards on the ground. If you remember, one of my keys to the game was limit Daniel Jones's escapability. And by the end of the night, he had two attempts for 5 yards. So totally, which was awesome. And obviously they're down, they were down Saquon Barkley. So Matt Breida is not your prototypical RB1, not the guy that they want toting the rock, whatever. But still, we did what we should have done. We shut down the run and on the other side also shut down the pass, ending up with only 121 or something passing yards. So 137 yards passing. So
New York has quarterback problems, both teams.
They sure do. They got a lot of problems, let's be honest. They got more than quarterback problems. I'm going to stand up for my guy, Zach Wilson. Watching that Jets team, they're just a mess. I am, personal tiny tangent here. I am honestly bummed that Aaron Rodgers got hurt as early as he did, because if he would have even played one game and gotten sacked five times and only put up 13 points, everybody wouldn't be just coming down on Zach Wilson. He's not playing great, don't get me wrong. But he is, even Aaron Rodgers, I don't think would have succeeded with this offensive line that the Jets have going, protecting him. It's a joke. But personally, that's my opinion.
Okay.
Don't worry, Josh. You can cut that from the podcast.
Not cut that. Everybody needs to hear that.
Back to the Niners.
Back to the Niners. Dad, opportunities to build on. Grandpa mentioned a couple things, whatever, I was talking through the stat sheet, but what pops off to you, you know, what could the Niners do better coming into week four?
Week four, I think one thing we could do is work on our on penalties. Through three games, the 49ers have committed 23 penalties for 213 yards. And yeah, that's something we can definitely improve on and get better at. I think that'd be my number one thing right now, because our offensive line, we handled the blitz fairly well. I mean, it was difficult. They were all constantly over, under a lot of pressure and outmanned. Defensively, our secondary held up this time. I think everything else, I think penalties is one place where we're giving up unnecessary yards and putting us in positions we don't need to be in.
Yeah, I agree. Totally. That is the one thing that I was like, ugh. And then I mentioned it in like the third or fourth quarter, and I was like, dang, that is just terrible. When we're supposed to be really dominating a team, all of a sudden you end up with, what was it, six or seven penalties this game? Six penalties for 71 yards. Yikes. Mm-hmm. I gotta bring that up, because those yards matter big time in close games. We haven't had a super close game just yet where it's coming down to the last drive. But yeah, man, it's you gotta clean that up. And they should. You know, I was listening to a couple of podcasts this week, and they said, you know, in September, the goal is to win. Doesn't really matter how. You can win ugly in September, because, you know, you brought in parts in the offseason and draft picks, and everybody's getting acclimated a little bit to the speed of the game, getting in game shape, and kind of just the sequence and process every week in and out of, you know, practice, prep, game, practice, recover, practice, prep, game. And so you do learn some things, and that's one thing that I hope that the Niners are able to clean up. Because other than that, you know, once again, bringing up one of my concerns before the start of the season is that I did not want them to start slow. And I don't, that they have not started slow. I mean, putting up 30 points apiece in the first three games is fantastic. But the penalties mm-hmm. are one that can definitely be improved upon. Great. So game balls now. You know, some stellar performances. Maybe, Grandpa, let's have you go first. Who would you give a game ball to?
Well, this week I would give the game ball to Kyle Shanahan. Oh. You know, each week we have a lot of choices. They're playing very well. But I give it to Shanahan. I mean, he drives the bus. He's just brilliant beyond words. And he just is designing plays that bring out, you know, each player's strength. So we see, you know, a guy like Brock Purdy come on, and I mean, he's been spectacular. He's undefeated in the regular season. And not only that, but when you compare Purdy to Garoppolo, we're scoring 8 points a game more now than we did with Jimmy. So he's just, you know, Shanahan, you know, we go back to 2017 when Shanahan and John Lynch came over, the team was 2-14, and they've totally remade the roster. The only guy that remains from the 2017 team is Eric Armstead. And now we have a roster full of stars. It's probably the best roster in the league. So my game ball this week goes to Kyle Shanahan.
Love that. And I think we have to mention that it's amazing. And maybe we mentioned it last week. I can't remember. But, you know, Kyle Shanahan, John Lynch just got extended multi-year contract. I think it's through now 2026 or 2027. One of them is longer than the other. But just an awesome commitment to them. Keep John Lynch around, away from the broadcast booth that we know has been recruiting him. Just really good news.
Yeah, they're gold. These guys are just solid.
Yeah. Dad, what about you? Who's your game ball? Who'd you give it to?
It was spread around pretty well on both sides of the ball. But I'm just going to have to tip my hat to Brock Purdy. I know that is kind of just a given. He's the quarterback of the winning team, 30 points. They're putting up every game. But Brock Purdy was under pressure, like Grandpa mentioned at the beginning of the game, 70% of the time with a blitz package coming at him. He was able to protect the ball. He did throw a couple balls that could have been intercepted, but they weren't, thankfully. But he had two TDs. He was sacked twice. He had a rating of 111. Threw for 310 yards, 25 of 37. And he kept the ship afloat, steady, and moving down the field, distributed the ball. I mean, we had 300 yards passing, 140 rushing. So Brock Purdy, again, just steady Eddie, cool as a cucumber, ice in his veins, just stares down adversity and gets the job done. So I'm going to say Brock Purdy. He is the leader of this team. It's who they look to, and he's getting it done.
Love it. Yeah, it was impressive. He started out looking a little rocky, a little shaken, but wasn't rattled, and ended up delivering. I mean, 25 for 37 on that night, over 300 yards passing. I mean, a lot helped the yak, of course, always does. Mm-hmm. That's part of it. Is throwing the ball so they can get that yards after the catch. So, yeah, great game from him. My game ball would have to be Debo. I felt like this is the Debo coming out party a little bit. Not that he wasn't already out, because he deserves and demands a ton of respect. But ever since we – and I think I've mentioned this – ever since we got Christian McCaffrey, I feel like his role has diminished a little bit. Before Christian McCaffrey came, he was the offense. I mean, he really was. When we made that playoff run in 2021, that was the Debo show. He's just playing everywhere. And then we got Christian McCaffrey, and it's awesome. We don't have to rely on him. You don't want to have those single points of failure with just one guy being your playmaker. So it's nice that we can spread it around a lot. But because Brandon Ayuk was out this week, Brock Purdy was looking for Debo more, and man, he made himself known. So with that one touchdown in the corner, that was awesome. You know, Brock Purdy just threw that thing in there. That was beautiful. That's now — we've seen that twice now. One with Brandon Ayuk, two with Debo. I mean, it's so hard to stop that. You really can't. The back shoulder to the outside, it's really hard to guard that. And so if we can connect on those repeatedly, we're going to be in a really good spot.
Debo is so thick and so strong too. I mean, he punishes people when they tackle him, and then if somebody's on his back, he'll run another 5-8 yards with them. I mean, the guy is just a stud and so strong. Not your prototypical receiver by any means, he's a bull. In fact, that's how we get a lot of yak is our guys don't go down, and they're strong and tough.
Yep, it's fun to watch.
Yeah, very fun to watch. All right, now shifting gears toward Cardinals week. We got a game coming up here in a few days. Sunday, October 1st, the kickoff is at 1:25 p.m. Pacific. Niners, obviously 3-0, taking on the Arizona Cardinals at 1-2. Just had a big win against the Cowboys, which we'll talk about. All-time record against the Cardinals is the Giants lead 34 games to 29. Honestly, closer than I would have expected. But for this game, San Francisco is favored by 14 points with the over and under set at 44. It should be a beautiful day for some football. 70 degrees in Santa Clara at game time. The Niners are going to be wearing their traditional standard red tops, gold bottoms, looking fresh. Should be a great home game, and hopefully, you know, another good win. Vegas says we should win this game handily, but we'll get into it and why maybe it might be a little bit closer. Let's talk about injuries though, real quick. We did get banged up coming out of that game last week. We just mentioned, you know, that Brandon Ayuk did sit out due to his shoulder, potentially neck injury last week against the Giants. It was a quick turnaround, so it makes sense. Today on Wednesday, the practice report came out that Brandon Ayuk was a limited participant, as was Ambry Thomas. To note, Deebo Samuel, that he fell on the ball in the game and said it kind of got the wind knocked out of him a little bit. Maybe he did. Maybe he also landed on the ball in a weird way that it affected his ribs, because today he did not practice with a rib injury, and they also threw in there a knee injury, so that's not great. Juwan Jennings, our other receiver, did not practice with a shin injury. Not great. And then even Dre Greenlaw did not practice today with an ankle injury. So some key players, I mean, particularly at the wide receiver position, that's, you know, Brandon Ayuk, Deebo Samuel, and Juwan Jennings. At this point, it's early. There's still 4 days until game day. But Brandon Ayuk was the only one that was a limited participant, and Deebo and Juwan were both did not participate. So reactions there, Grandpa, Dad.
Well, I think they're gonna play. They're starting to rest people, and if they're a little dinged up, you know, they can sit out a Francis or two. I think Deebo will play, and Ayuk will play, and Greenlaw will play, and you know, so we'll be fine.
Okay, I hope I like the optimism.
That's my thought too. I think most of these guys will play. I think Deebo he'll play. When he did land on the ball, the way he grabbed his kind of abdomen and side, it looked like he injured probably the cartilage, actually the rib cartilage. It folds in right in that area, right, kind of towards the front, and that's all cartilage. That tears. It's very painful. He'll play. Ayuk and Jennings, I think they'll play. They might be a little more limited potentially, but all in all, I'm not too concerned.
Okay. Yeah, that's the hope. That's the hope. On the Cardinals side, worth noting some of their players. They had three participants, or three do not participate today. Chris Barnes, a linebacker. Jonathan Ledbetter, a defensive end. Josh Woods, a linebacker. And then a limited participant, James Conner, obviously their big running back. And then two guys that are coming off of injury, full participants today. David Collins, their star linebacker, and Kelvin Beecham, an offensive tackle. So, pieces there. But I was surprised just by the practice report from the Niners, because really coming out of the game, there weren't any, you know, big injuries to know other than people potentially concerned about Deebo. But he came back in the game and caught that back shoulder after landing on the ball. So you would expect him to be okay. And it was, you know, on Thursday, So they consider this kind of week a mini bye because it is 10 days in between games. You would hope that, that by game day they'll be back and participate. All right. Now, Grandpa, opponent, let's talk about the opponent personnel, players to watch. Tell us a little bit more about this Cardinals team and what we can expect from them.
Okay. Well, Arizona is erasing the blackboard and starting all over again. They have a new head coach this year, Jonathan Gannon. He was the defensive coordinator for the Eagles the last 2 years. And, you know, the Eagles have a phenomenal defense. So he is bringing that to Arizona. And I was surprised last week. You know, they played Dallas, and Dallas, everybody's been high on Dallas. And they just manhandle them. I mean, Dallas has a great defense, you know, and offense, but Arizona handled them. They really did throughout the game. So Dallas only scored 16 points. And the good news to me is this could very easily be a trap game, where right. we overlook Arizona because we have Dallas coming in next and say, well, we're going to a 14-point favorite. We're going to beat these guys. And then, you know, you fall on your face. The fact that they beat Dallas is a wake-up call for us, and we will be ready for Arizona. They don't have a lot of star players. I was amazed at how they handled Dallas's pass rush, because Dallas does have a tremendous pass rush, and they got nowhere. Their quarterback, I think everybody knows that Kyler Murray is really out for the year. He may come back at the end of the season, but so Joshua Dobbs is actually filling in for Kyler Murray. He originally was drafted by Pittsburgh. He went to the University of Tennessee, and he's really just bounced around since he's been drafted. He's played for three different teams now, and he's only played in 15 games over his 5 years. So, you know, not a lot of experience at quarterback. And then they have James Conner as a running back. He's tough as nails. He also was drafted by Pittsburgh, and Pittsburgh got rid of him, actually, and now he's just, you know, solid every week. He's tough. And then they have this other guy, Rondell Moore, number four. They like to run counters and, you know, delayed handoffs. And then on third down, they go to their strong tight end, Zach Ertz. So they're, you know, kind of just an average team. We should win this game handily, and I hope we do. So that's a little bit about the Arizona Cardinals.
Yeah. I think it's also important to note that, you know, the expectations for this team, meaning the Cardinals, are super low coming into the year. I mean, like you said, starting from scratch. Bottom tier league, bottom tier team. But then they've kind of been a little bit of a surprise. They hung in with the Commanders week one, ended up losing the game. They hung in with the Giants and were up 20-0 on the Giants, I think at halftime of that game. And right. Last week, how the Giants came back and won. But they are not, you know, they're not going down without a fight, which, you know, you got to respect. And you know, Coach Gannon is getting his guys ready. And, you know, Josh Dobbs, you know, somewhat of a overlooked quarterback, is making people pay. I mean, in the last week, nothing crazy against the Cowboys. He was very efficient, 17 for 21 for a little under 200 yards, but one touchdown, no interceptions. So, you know, did his job and then uses his legs. He had 6 carries for 55 yards. And they really just ran all over the Cowboys. I think they respected the pass rush and just at them on the ground, and that was working. So, Yeah, you know, I totally echo what you said. And the first thing that popped in my head when I saw the score, I didn't see the game, but when I saw that the Cardinals were pulling away, about to beat the Cowboys, I was like, whoa, okay, well, I guess we got a game next week. And it definitely was a wake-up call for me, wake-up call, I'm sure, for the team. And you know, they always talk about, you got to respect the game, you got to respect your opponent. And these guys definitely earned the respect of the coaches in this week of preparing against them. So should be a good one.
Mm-hmm.
All right, let's talk about keys to the game. One each, we'll go around the horn. Dad, what's your key to the game? What do you hope to see? What will help us win the game?
Key to the game is turnovers. We cannot turn over the ball, and we've so far we're plus, I don't know, we plus four, something like that on the
right.
Yeah, plus four. Yeah, mm-hmm. And so we have to stay on the plus side of turnovers, and I'm going to add protect Purdy and defend the run. Arizona is allowing 400 yards of offense against them every game. We're allowing 278 yards. So they're gonna give up some yards. Move the ball a little bit. So but if we can shut down their run and stop turnovers and stay on the plus side, those will be the keys of the game.
Mm-hmm.
Perfect. Grandpa, what about you?
Well, as I mentioned a few minutes ago, this could have been a trap game. I mean, it was just the ideal trap game. You're playing, you know, the Little Sisters of the Poor, and then the following week, Dallas. So we would have overlooked them. We're not going to overlook them now. And I think it's important to get ahead early. And so I hope we can jump out and get a lead and then just build on that and just never let them in the game.
Yeah, that kind of feels like Mexico City last year. We were also heavy favorites in that game. And from the go, we did not let them play the game. The game was over after the first quarter. And I would love to see that too. And I think that's that's what great teams do in these games, is that they put it away, and even that fourth quarter, maybe give some reps to Sam Darnold so he can be ready as a QB2, get some live game reps. He doesn't have a lot of game experience, but always good to give some of those second teamers, third stringers, some game time and save ourselves for some, you know, from injuries, of course. All right, my key to the game, I'm going to honestly stick with what I said last week, was contain the QB. When I saw that Josh Dobbs ran six times for 55 yards, I said, whoa, like, you got to respect his legs and keep him contained. You know, like you said, Grandpa, the Cowboys have a good pass rush. So do we. I think we have a really good interior defensive line this year. And so hopefully we can limit that run game. And if we can shut down the run game, because that's what, you know, really won them the game against the Cowboys. And also, obviously, they also had a good defensive game. But, if we shut down the run game, this game is going to be over quick. All right. Now, score predictions. Maybe let's go the same way. Grandpa, you first, then Dad, then me. Grandpa, what do you think is going to be the score? Remember, the Niners are favored by 14, over and under set at 44.
Yeah. I know we're favored by 14. I hope we win by 40. But I'm going to predict really a tight game. The 49ers winning 26-19 would be my prediction this week.
All right. Dad.
I think it's going to be a little bit of a slugfest at first, and then I think we'll pull away. I think we'll win Niners 30-17. The Purdy 30.
I'm going to go with the same exact score, Dad. I think 30-17 is where I see this game ending up. I think the Cardinals will make things close in the first half. I think we'll have the endurance and the strategy, the scheme, any also some kind of defensive, changes that we make at halftime, and we'll pull away in the second half to a comfortable 13-point win. But I do think that 14-point line is like, wow, really? I don't know. Especially coming off of that Cowboys Cardinals game. So I'm gonna take the Cowboys to cover the spread. I mean, sorry, the Cardinals to cover the spread. But I do think that we'll put up more than 44 points.
I agree.
Should be a good one though. I mean, another afternoon. Yeah. You mentioned it's gonna be a beautiful, beautiful day for some football. We've had the mini bye. The Niners should win this game. I sure hope they do, because that would be a bummer to lose this one, especially at home. So anyway,
we'll win this one. They let Dallas put up over 400 yards against them. They turned over Dallas lost the ball turnover. I think that converted to points. Dallas held the ball 10 minutes longer than the Cardinals. It's not like the Cardinals dominated the game. They won the game, and they had opportunities where they did, where the door was open and they took advantage of it. So I think with that kind of offensive yardage that you can put up against them, I think we're going to do great.
Yeah. Last thing to note, good point, Dad, is also the Cowboys had 13 penalties for 107 yards. Exactly. Classic Cowboys. I feel like in the last 3 years, they just rack up under Mike McCarthy, rack up those penalties, and that always comes back to bite them in the butt. So good point. It wasn't a domination, but they did win the game. They took advantage of the opportunities they were given.
Yep.
All right, Grandpa. We always end these with a story, an anecdote. Cardinals week this week. What you got for us?
Well, we're going to do a history lesson and the Cardinals. And so one quick question for our listeners. And the question is, what current NFL team has been playing organized football the longest? Okay, you're all right. It's the Arizona Cardinals. They're the oldest team in terms of continuous operation in pro football history. They actually opened their doors in 1898.
Wow.
And yeah, so the NFL started in 1920. So they were 22 years before the NFL started. And they were really founded in Chicago by a nice, fine Irishman. It was just kind of a local team, and the owner's name was Chris O'Brien, and he formed this team called the Morgan Athletic Club. And in a couple of years after they got going, he bought some jerseys from the University of Chicago, and their colors were maroon, but they were a number of years old. So when he bought the uniforms, Chris O'Brien thought they were Cardinal Red, so that's where they got their name. Their nickname is from the color that he thought those uniforms were. And originally, they just played locally on 61st and Racine Street, and they were one of their names was the Racine Street Cardinals. And unfortunately, while they've been around a long time, they don't have a lot of great history. So they've played football for 125 years. They've won two championships. They've actually lost more games than any other team in the NFL. They've lost 792 games and counting. So they're going to join the 800 loss club this year. And just comparing the Niners for a second to the Cardinals, the Cardinals started 48 years before we did. and we have 33 more wins than they do.
Wow. So,
not to get too mixed up with the numbers, but so originally they played in Chicago as the Chicago Cardinals, and later they moved to St. Louis, and currently they're in Phoenix or Glendale, Arizona. So they played in three different cities. They're on the move. So let's see what else. They won these two championships. They've had some good years. They've had a lot of terrible years. But another interesting thing that my research told me was in 1947, they named their backfield the Million Dollar Backfield. And I go, wait a minute, that's the Niners.
Yeah. They
had a Million Dollar Backfield in the mid 50s, 54, 55, 56. And in our Million Dollar Backfield was Y.A. Tittle at quarterback, Hugh McElhenney, John Henry Johnson, and Joe the Jet Perry, all of which were in the Hall of Fame. So we had four guys in our backfield, and they're all in the Hall of Fame. But in those days, when they called it the Million Dollar Backfield, $1 million was something nobody really had ever seen. You know, that's when you saw a penny on the street and you'd stop and pick it up. We don't do that today. So, and then when you look at their Hall of Fame representatives, the Cardinals have 22 representatives in the Hall of Fame. That's 6% of the Hall, 362 members. But they include Emmitt Smith, the Dallas running back. He played his last 2 years in Arizona, so they get credit for that. And also their coach in 1950 and 51 was Curly Lambeau, who really was, and that's what, he's from Green Bay, and that's, they named the stadium after him, but he coached the Cardinals for 2 years. Also, Jim Thorpe played 1 year for the Cardinals in 1928. But the play and the player that I will never forget is cornerback Aeneas Williams. He was a great player. He was in the Hall of Fame, and he delivered the final blow to Steve Young's career in 1999. Yeah. I was there in Phoenix. I traveled with the team, and Williams blitzed from the right side, and Lawrence Phillips missed his block, and Steve Young suffered a concussion and never played again. So that was awful.
I believe, Grandpa, on that point, I saw something on Twitter today. That was 24 years ago today. It was today, September 7th.
Okay, well, we're not celebrating it.
Not celebrating.
No. So, but the Cardinals, and what's typical of all teams that don't do well, so, you know, the NFL is very fair. The worst team drafts first and on. And so Arizona has always drafted very high. I mean, they've had the cream of the crop each year in the draft, but they don't draft well. And an example of that was just a few years ago in 2018, Arizona finished 3-13, I think it was, and we finished 4-12. So Arizona had the top pick. We had the number two pick. And it was a general consensus that Nick Bosa was thought by everyone to be the top player in the country, and Arizona was going to take him. They took Kyler Murray. So a little thank you to, or a big thank you to Arizona, because Nick Bosa one day will be in the Hall of Fame. Murray won't.
Yep.
So that's a little bit about the Cardinals. And, you know, they're the oldest team in football, which is interesting. So we'll take care of business and beat the oldest franchise in the NFL, the team with 792 losses.
Grandpa.
793 is coming on Sunday.
Okay. You cut out there for a second, okay. Grandpa. But,
I did? Oh.
Yeah, just briefly.
You want me to repeat anything?
No, I think you ended it. It was just a few seconds.
Okay. Okay.
All right. Well, with that, let's go ahead and end. Appreciate everybody for sticking around, for listening to 49ers Family. It's a blast that we get to do this, spend time together, and talk about our favorite football team. Thanks, Dad. Thanks, Grandpa. If you do have any comments and questions, you can hit us up at 49ersfamily@gmail.com. I'll be honest, I forgot to check it before we started today. But, always, ask us your questions if you have any. But if not, here we go. Cardinals week. Let's go Niners.
Go Niners.
Go Niners.